London Underground Productions present On the Run, the story of London's clandestine broadcasting stations.
When you're walking down the street with your transistor radio, everybody has a good time. You can dance to the beat of your transistor radio, even when the sun don't shine. You can hear your favorite rock and roll, rhythm and blues with a lot of soul. Yeah, oh, we love the pirate station.
After the Marine Offences Act became law on August the 14th, 1967, the airwaves over Britain fell quiet. There was Radio 1, of course, but to a great many people, this was not enough. They wanted to hear the sound of the pirates, and it was found, but on land rather than from a ship off the coast, for just a little to one side of BBC Radio 1, from August 1968. Listeners in London could hear...
This is Radio Free London. If you'd like to write to Radio Free London South, which is the station you're hearing now, then write to Radio Free London, 23 Greek Street, London West 1. My name's Michael Christian, and if you'd like a request, why not write to me? Write to the Michael Christian request spot, Radio Free London, 23 Greek Street, London West 1. I'll see what I can do for you. Okay? See you again next Sunday. Same time. Same place.
Radio Free London broadcasts from various locations in the London area, first on 203 metres and later on 255 metres medium wave. We asked Mike Lindsay how it all started.
Well, the first time I got involved was when they were holding the Trafalgar Square rally, which was August the 17th, about, must have been 1968, I suppose. And if I remember rightly, we were on 255 metres. We worked all night on the 16th getting the transmitter finished working and tuned up and so on, and we found a third floor flat somewhere in Kensington. I can't remember where it was exactly, but somewhere in Kensington. And there was a very tall block of flats on the other side of the road, and during the night we stealthily this block of flats and put an aerial from the top railing on the top floor of this block of flats across the road to our chimney, on which was above our third floor. And the transmitter, we had a dummy transmitter which had valves that glowed and looked very much like a transmitter, but most of the components were duff. In fact, all the components were duff. The valves glowed, though, but they were mostly shorted anode to grid or something terrible. But it looked very impressive, and it had big, thick wires coming out of it and so on and so forth. But the real transmitter was hidden in a loudspeaker box. And into this loudspeaker box, we had going a cable cunningly discarded. Well, looked like a mains cable, but in fact it was four-core wire. And on two of the cores, we were putting in the audio, and on the other pair, we were putting in the mains. And out of the thing, there were two little glass tubes through the wood, and out of one of those glass tubes came the aerial, and out of the other went to the earth. And the transmitter sat away quite happily in there, and we gave a test transmission. I think it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And we heard the transmission in Trafalgar Square, so we all sort of bounced with excitement. And they started about 8 o'clock in the morning. I think I did the first programme, actually. Or maybe there was a programme before mine. But I did a programme round about breakfast time, which finished at 9 o'clock. And then Andy Archer, I think, carried on. And it went on with several different people during the day. Well, all afternoon... they'd been saying on the air that we would close down at 5 o'clock and post office, you know, please realise that we're not on very often. This is it was almost the first time we'd come on with any sort of receivable power or sort of proper programmes. And we told them we'd be off by 5 o'clock. Anyway, Spangles couldn't resist the temptation of carrying on at 5 o'clock. And about 20 past five, he was playing some requests for somebody, and Smith of the post office walked in. I was sitting on the loudspeaker box, which you remember, it's a radio transmitter. And Smith picked up the transmitter, or the dummy transmitter, rather, that was sort of prominently displayed on a shelf, glowing and buzzing like nothing. Well, it was like something, but it wasn't really doing anything. And he pulled the crystal out. So with that, I had to grab at the aerial wire to pull the aerial wire out of the loudspeaker box, because the mains cable was sort of permanently wired in, and the only loose wires were this sort of thin 28 SWG copper wire coming out for the air and the earth. So I grabbed hold of it, got the hell of an RF burn, but the transmitter completely detuned itself, and I suppose the output valve started going red hot, but Smith obviously thought that the transmitter had gone off the air on his sort of Japanese portable he carries around with him. And he took it away, and actually Chris did ask him to say a few words on the air, but he decided not to. That was before he took the crystal out, and he disappeared again. And inside the crystal, we never know whether he saw this in fact, but the crystal frequency wasn't marked, and we thought he might look inside it one day to see what frequency we were on or how that crystal happened to be operating the transmitter. And instead of a crystal inside this Baker-like case that the crystal is normally contained in, was a little slip of paper saying, "Dear Mr. Smith, now find the real transmitter." And that was basically the story of August the 14th, 1968.
Dateline, March the 12th, 1969. Fines of £25 and £10 costs were imposed by West London magistrates today on a Radio Free London engineer. A confiscation order was also placed on the station's equipment.
But the station continued.
As most of you probably know, Polydor Records run an appreciation society for their Atlantic and Stax labels called Uptight and Out of Sight. Well, we've just been reading the current edition of this magazine, Soul Messenger. In it, they print an article by Johnny Walker in which he says, "However sad and disappointing it may be, we all have to face up to the fact that Caroline and any other offshore station is finished, over and done with, never to return again. If the Tories are returned to power, they will introduce commercial radio as soon as possible. Let's try and make the best of what we've got instead of hanging on to a dream of the impossible. Commercial radio will come, but not through the efforts of foolish people running illegal stations. That only serves to blacken the whole thing." Well, this is where, with respect, we must disagree with Johnny. Radio Free London and the vast majority of other independent stations are run by responsible people who voluntarily observe a moral code of broadcasting and, helped, of course, by their low transmission strengths, run no risk of causing interference to other broadcasters. Certainly RFL is illegal, but then Johnny himself took a lead in having the guts to stand up for our fight's fast disappearing rights to the point of passive law-breaking. An independent radio is a right. Finally, we dislike being called foolish. We at RFL have a very serious purpose. While we agree with Johnny that the Tories are pretty well committed to introducing a commercial alternative to BBC Radio when they next reach power, the question of what sort of alternative is far from decided. Johnny wrote in his article that he is at present reading a book on the fight that took place to get commercial TV on the air. A fight backed by advertising agencies and all those interested in seeing a commercial service. The press didn't join in the fight through worries of lost advertising. The public didn't give much support because they didn't know exactly what commercial TV was all about. As insignificant as RFL is when it comes to national politics, it is our sincere hope that when the time eventually comes for the details of independent radio in this country to be decided, the continued existence of RFL will have encouraged at least a few more people to have kept an interest in free radio. And there will have been made the voice of educated public opinion, which must be listened to, and it'll have been made just a little bit louder, a little bit stronger. This has been Radio Free London's reply to Johnny Walker's article in the current issue of Soul Messenger, and we must thank the editor, Janet Martin, for offering space in their next edition to print our reply. But right now, this is Brian Lombard handing you back to the Michael Christian Show. What have you got for us next week?
Yes, it's the Candies on the Liberty label with the new one, number 30 this week in the Disco Scale, called, of course, Going Up the Country. last week's number 45.
Radio Free London was one of the first of the land-based pirates to broadcast music programmes after the fashion of the offshore stations. Later on, the station split into two, a North station with Jason Wolfe.
Good afternoon to you. This is Radio Free London North, speaking to you on 255 meters of the medium wave band. We hope you're all having a very nice Sunday afternoon. Nice and quiet, got lots of Christmas pudding in the tun. Did I say Christmas? Well, pudding anyway. More than I got in, because I don't get my lunch till after the show. Tell you what, let's start the show this week with a nice lively one from the gun. It will just drive you mad.
On the South Station with Michael Christian.
From Aphrodite's Child, there, Rain and Tears, number 29 in the Radio Free London disc scale this week. This is Radio Free London South on 255 metres in the medium wave band. The time is 19 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, actually. It's a bit more than that. It's actually, it's a bit less than that. It's 18 minutes 50 seconds, if you're really interested. This is Radio Free London South on 255 metres in the medium wave band. And if you're interested in free radio, then why don't you phone the newspapers and tell them that we're on the air, because we are unable to get free radio in this country unless people take notice of us. So why don't you phone the newspapers and tell them that Radio Free London South is on the air on 255 and they can give a listen. Okay? It's no good saying someone else to do it, because they just won't. You'll have to do it. So you're the only trustworthy person we've got.
Jason Wolfe had started doing Radio Free London as such, but it wasn't very many of the originals. It was basically him and Bud Ballou, and that was about it. Owen Chicago, who's now the radio engineer on Caroline and was on North Sea for some time. And there were those three, but there were more of us who'd sort of originally been involved, thought it was a bit of a con, him starting up Radio Free London, when there were more of us on the other side that weren't doing it with him than there were actually doing it. So we started Radio Free London South, and he condescended to call his Radio Free London North. So we had Radio Free London North and South, both on 255 metres. We recorded the programmes in the same place and sort of worked out what records each would be playing, so we wouldn't play the same records. And then from, say, 12 to 1, you'd have Radio Free London North, and then from 1 to 2, you'd have Radio Free London South, both from different locations. And then for a while, we had a Radio Free London South East, would you believe? which came on sort of after 2 and on till 3.
Meanwhile, there was activity in other parts of London. I asked Mike Knight of Radio Jackie about the early days of Radio Helen.
At this time, well, in London, there were three or four stations. Radio Free London was still going, although it had passed its peak and it was on the decline by Christmas 68. And Radio Helen had started on 197 metres. Originally, they used to broadcast during the week, about half an hour each afternoon, but this was extended to Sundays on 197 metres, where they did a regular half-hour spot at 12:15.
OK, and how about joining the RFH Club? It's only half a crown to join. Send it in together with a large stamped addressed envelope. And if you can't get hold of a large stamp addressed envelope, just send in the stamp to go with half a crown, and we'll send you details of the station, even photographs, and that's not all. We'll send you a membership card. We'll give you a chance of winning a record voucher. In fact, you have a chance of winning one of these every week. And what else do you get for half a crown? Well, you get newsletters each and every month. You get a badge you can wear and show off to all your friends. It's fantastic value, just for half a crown. So the address to write to is RFH Club at 51 The Chase, Norbury, SW16.
Radio Free Helen was soon joined by a number of other stations on 197 metres, and together they formed the Helen Broadcasting Network, consisting of a number of stations, each producing half an hour on Sundays, one following the other in a preset pattern.
Well, by the looks of it, the Augustus Johnson Show has come to a close. Anyway, I hope you'll join me next week at the same time on 197 on Sunday at 12:15. But in the meantime, how about writing in to me? The address is 51 The Chase, Norbury, SW16. That's 51 THE CHASE, Norbury, that's NORBURY, SW16. Like to hear from you. And if we haven't played your request this week, not to worry, I'll play it for you next week. But But in the meantime, keep your dials on 197 for more of the Helen Broadcasting Network. Right now, Helen 3 will be taking you through from quarter to one till quarter past one. Then Radio Freedom will be on from, quarter past one to 1:45. Then Radio Spectrum will be on from 1:45 to 2:15. And from 2:15 to 2:45, Radio Avenge will be taking you through. And of course at 2:45, Radio Telstar will be on the air. So I hope you can pick these up. And above all, look after yourselves, be good. Write into us at 51, the Chase, Norbury, SW16. Bye for now, yours truly, Gustav Jonathan, signing off until next week at 12:15 on 197.
Good morning, everybody. This is SVOF, and this is The Breakfast Show with Felix Clapp
and Max Spiro.
Radio Helen used to broadcast daily for half-hour periods, but they weren't reaching any great audience, so they decided to extend their transmissions to Sundays, and they broadcast for a half-hour period on Sunday afternoons from 12:15 until 12:45. But obviously you can't hope to gain a particularly great audience only broadcasting for half an hour, and the organisers of Helen didn't think it was safe to broadcast for longer than a half-hour period, so the only solution was to have a series of stations, each broadcasting a half-hour show, one following the other, which was the original idea of the Helen Network. It's good in theory, but in practice it was a total failure. As a network, it began towards the end of 1968, which time there were one or two stations. There was Radio Helen 1, which later became Helen South, and there was Radio Helen 2, Radio Helen 3, which became Helen North. And then various outsiders joined the organisation, like Radio Revenge, Radio Telstar, Radio Apollo, Radio Freedom, and even the almighty Radio Free Caroline came in on the 197 Helen Network.
On occasions, stations were raided by the post office, but the short broadcast times made it hard to get to a location in time. Some stations, however, felt that even if the post office didn't arrive, they could at least pretend they had.
Closing now because our GPR van's coming down the road. Is it coming down the road, Fred? Oh! No, we'll keep going until they actually come into the house. The GPR are here, folks. It's very tense. I'm sort of looking at them and there's this funny GPO van, and so we'll be going off the air for any minute now. Oh, hold on, it's very exciting. This gets us fantastic publicity, you know, yeah. It's just in the car standing outside doing nothing. Okay, so let me remind you, this is Radio Free Helen. And our address to write to is 51, The Chase, Norbury, SW16. Radio Free Helen, broadcasting each and every week at 197, of course. That's us, Radio Free Helen. The only station to have one of these things. And the GPO have arrived, but they're not actually coming into the studios yet. Oh, I'm getting nervous. Oh, yeah, no, they've got a request there. Well, last request before the GPO puts us up the air. Still outside, are they? Yeah, the GPO's still outside anyway. And I'd like to say hi there to all the people I met at the party last night. All right, I went to a party, remember? Yeah, well, you all asked me for requests, and I said I couldn't do them for you because there's so many of you. But I'll do them for you next week. But in the meantime, enjoy this record, because I think we're going to go off the air now. Hey, quickly. What is it? Three dots
months or so, three dogs and three ashes. I never did notice. Oh, my God, it's a GPO podcast!
Unfortunately, the network idea, whilst sound in theory, tended to break down in practice when, for instance, there were technical problems.
Radio Helen South on 1525 kilocycles, approximately 197 metres in the medium wave band. Due to slight transmitter trouble, we have not been on at 12:15, so we shall be on the first available free airspace after the last station has been due the broadcast. This is Radio Free Helen South on 197. Best of luck, everybody. See you in the week sometime. Ta-da.
Thanks very much, Helen South. You weren't on, but still, we'll be listening later on. This is Radio Codswallop, by the way. Passing transmission, if possible, to Helen North, if you're there. Over.
Other stations continued to join the network, initially with Radio Free Helen numbers, but later with station names, like Radio Rose, Radio Apollo, and the now famous Radio Jackie.
That's Blackberry Way from the Move. You're tuned to Radio Helen 6. That's 197 metres in the medium wave band. You too can join the Radio Helen Club. Just send 2 and 6 in stamps or post order to 51 The Chase, Norbury, SW16.
Time is 2:45. You're tuned to the Sound of Free Radio, Radio Apollo. And now it's the Hank Jefferson Show.
Hi, this is Hank Jefferson, your friendly DJ on wonderful Radio Apollo. You're tuned to Wonderful Radio Apollo on 197 metres. For requests, comments and reception reports, please write to 243...
By late 1968, the network had grown to such an extent that Sundays were covered for several hours, if not by Helen Broadcasting Network stations, then by other operators on the same frequency.
This is a test transmission of Radio Free Caroline on 197. This is a test transmission of Radio Free Caroline on 197. This is a test transmission on 197 for Radio Free Caroline. Let me remind you that the Helen Broadcasting Network starts in 5 minutes with station Voice of Freedom. Can we have a record?
What record, that one.
Saturdays became used for testing purposes, some of which became quite humorous.
This is a test transmission from Radio Codswallop with the Bishop of Bognor here, testing a new transmitter which has never been used before on 197. If anybody has a 100 ohm resistor capable of handling 15 watts, please send it to the Bishop of Bognor, care of 51 The Chase, Norbury, London, Southwest 16. Okay, at the moment I can't see across the room for smoke. Anyway, this is the Bishop of Bognor, filling in time, hoping there's somebody there. Over.
This is Radio Telstar in swinging Surrey, and this is a test transmission. Sounds, tune Radio Telstar soon. On the Free Radio Network, medium wave. This is Radio Telstar.
Eventually, however, the organisation became unwieldy, the pattern began to break down, and stations became dissatisfied.
Hello, hello. This is Andy Camarillo, Radio Rose. Well, I advise all stations they might as well call it a day. I'm not going to carry on anymore. This is Andy Camarillo, Radio Rose. In the future, folks, you'll be hearing me on possibly, 259 metres in the medium wave band. You'll probably be hearing Radio Rose on 259 metres in the medium wave band. Andy Cameron at the moment on Radio Rose is in the Heading Broadcasting Network, but the way it's running at the moment doesn't seem as though Andy wants to stay in the network. He would much rather be on the 259 and have a regular spot at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. possibly on 259. Anyway, this is Andy Cameron on Radio Rose closing down for the day and saying that he won't be at the next Helling Broadcasting Network meeting. And he resigns because of the plain fact for the reason the stations are not run together and they do not stick together and help each other out. At the moment, the Helling Broadcasting Network is rather split up until round about a quarter past.
Finally, the Helling Broadcasting Network was officially closed down on April the 1st, 1969.
The stations were finding it very difficult to follow each other. As I said, it's good in theory, but in practice it's very difficult to find a different location to broadcast from every week. And in those days, nobody even thought of broadcasting from fields. It had to be a house. And, of course, that also meant an inferior aerial. Usually a garden would be, say, 50 or 60 foot long. And for a good transmission, you need an aerial about 100 or 200 feet long. Therefore, the signals were weak, the broadcasts were irregular. And that was really the breakdown of the Helling network.
You're listening to On the Run, continuing the story of London's clandestine broadcasting stations. By this time, the RFL organisation was also having problems due to post office raids and internal difficulties.
Well, we got fed up, really, and began to realise that we were being caught a bit too often, and we didn't seem to be getting any publicity anymore. And most of the listeners that we had seemed to be, I don't know, maybe they hadn't sort of developed mentally enough or something, but they seemed all a bit stupid and, you know, it generally made us fed up, the people to whom we were broadcasting, so we decided to pack up altogether. And Chicago went off and became radio engineer for Radio North Sea. Now he's on Caroline. And I went and joined North Sea and then moved on to Radio Birmingham. And I think we decided to take up proper broadcasting careers rather than mess about playing at it, really. I think we were like children with one of those money boxes which you try and put funny shapes into. You know, it's all very clever, but it doesn't really do you a great deal of good in later life.
The stations are often off the air, their place being taken by other operators, usually preceded by Radio Freedom.
Come on, be radio, baby, we're not sinking yet. Okay, this is the sound off Free Radio. This is Phil Martindale on the 255 Alive show, baby, and we're going to keep on going here. Well, actually, we're not. We've got to go off the air in about 3 minutes, you see, and hand over to Radio Free London. Hello, Radio Free London. You're probably listening to us right now. You're getting all tuned up, ready to go on your show on the radio. Oh, God, I am trying, you know. Anyway, I'll play this last request now. I'm going to attempt to play this last request, and it's from the Four Tops, and it's for Oliver Chamberlain. Oliver Chamberlain, who lives in Kew, and we meant to do this request the other day. Actually, it's not the last request.
Your love, like you're on fire.
Radio Freedom, 255 metres in the medium wave band. Thank you very much. This is Rob Ra. Time check here, actually, by my 8 Samuel Everong watch, is 25 minutes past 12. 11, in fact, 11. Take this down, folks. Rob Ra can't tell the time. And for Martin Ashover, there's 11h25. Okay, that was a bit of French. For those of you who didn't believe Rob Ra could speak French, there you are, he can't. Anyway, yes, as you might have guessed, this is a request for Martin Ash, if he's listening. Also for Christina. Christina over in Coombe Cottage, actually, but don't tell anyone. And for Mr. Terry Beegent, who happens to work for the GPO, who's a great friend of mine. And King Jim also knows...
Yeah, well, there you are. That was Radio Spectrum, broadcasting in place of Radio Free London's last half hour. I'd like to remind you all that the address for reception reports and anything else you might like to send us, requests, don't forget the Radio Free London car stickers still available at sixpence each. Oh, please. They're great things, man. 22 by 3 inches of white and black rubbish. And the address for either car stickers or anything you want to send Radio Free London or anything you want to send to Radio Spectrum is 23 Greek Street, London, W1. Unfortunately, we've got to go off the air now. Hope somebody else will come up and continue the fight for free radio. Cheerio.
The post office became very active around this period, and several stations were raided, including Radio Freedom and Radio Apollo. Some of the 197 metre stations, however, continued to broadcast. Mike Knight takes up the story.
When Helen closed down, the idea was to open up one big station, Radio Helen International, which was to broadcast on 227 metres. And the organisers of the HBN intended to, well, in a way, confiscate all the transmitters of the various stations in the Helen network, take them apart and use the components to make one big transmitter, which is, you know, a ridiculous idea. It's just their way of getting everyone else off the air so that they would be the only station broadcasting. Several stations fell in with this plan. Radio Jackie didn't, and at the same time fell out with the Helen Broadcasting Network.
What happened to some of the other well-known stations in the network, like, for instance, Radio Telstar?
Radio Telstar also decided to go its own way. After a short break, they recommenced transmissions on 207 metres and then on 255 metres, and for the next few months they were reasonably successful, but after a massive GPO raid they closed down, and I don't believe they've been heard of since.
So this is the Bishop of Bognor on Helen International. I don't like doing that, it's horrible noise, isn't it? Saying, cheerio, don't do anything I wouldn't do, see you next week. Don't forget to write to me, I get very lonely these days.
However, there was another spate of GPO raids on June the 18th, 1969.
Police and radio detection engineers called yesterday at two addresses in outer London and discovered illegal radio transmitters, one of which was taken away. The raids took place in Sutton and Chessington. A GPO spokesman said that persons have been interviewed.
Diamond on 199 metres. This is Radio Diamond on 199 metres. Yesterday afternoon, Radio Eagle, Radio Realisation, and Radio Telstar North were raided by the GPO because they were providing a free radio service for the public. The GPO raided them because it is illegal to transmit on the medium wave band. Not because they are hurting anybody, but because it is illegal. Not because it is getting in anybody's way, but because it is illegal. I send out my condolences to Radio Telstar North and to Paul, to Radio Realisation and Jay, and to Mike Knight of Radio Eagle. This has been Radio Diamond. We cannot stay on much longer than this, and tomorrow we are dedicating the whole programme to Mr. Frisbee, and we might dedicate a few records to Mr. Smith. So tune in, will you, on 199 metres to the Tim Hunter Show on Radio Diamond, 199 metres tomorrow. This is Radio Diamond saying thank you very much to Radio Eagle, Radio Telstar North and Radio Realisation for trying to continue the fight for free radio.
I was testing a piece of equipment from my own house and suddenly there was a knock on the door. I went downstairs and Mr. Frisbee was standing there with a police constable and a search warrant. He said that he was from the post office and he believed that transmissions had been coming from these premises and he asked to have a look round. So I read the warrant and it seemed all in order, so I didn't have much choice. So I let him upstairs and he took away my transmitter.
The airwaves were now almost empty again, with only one or two stations still broadcasting music, from open fields now in preference to houses. I asked Mike Knight what prompted the change from house-based locations to fields.
Well, we made the decision because houses were running out. We'd used, you know, perhaps six or seven locations while broadcasting in the HBN. But soon after we closed with the HBN, we extended our transmission times, firstly to 2 hours, then 3 hours, and then 6 hours every week. And the GPO still didn't come, so I doubt if they would have done with the HBN. But the houses soon ran out. We began to repeat locations. And then the dreaded thing happened. The post office began to realise that Radio Jackie was a threat, and they started increasing their activity. And we were raided a couple of times, but we weren't caught. We didn't even lose any equipment. Normally our lookout system was good enough and we spotted them as they walked up and down the roads with their hearing aid or with their portable radios.
What would you say was the difference between broadcasting from a house and broadcasting as you now do from fields and such like places?
Well, quite a tremendous amount. Firstly, when one is broadcasting from a house, you're all in the warm, you've got an aerial strung between a tree at the bottom of somebody's garden and the top floor window, and you've got a simple transmitter which is plugged into the mains and the tape recorder's plugged into the transmitter and everything goes along happily. But when you come to fields, that's when the fun and the difficulty starts. You've got the weather to put up with, which can often cause a lot of trouble, water getting in the transmitter and it doesn't work, and that can be very worrying indeed. But basically, broadcasting from a field is more difficult because the power has got to come from car batteries. The car batteries provide you with 12 volts, which has got to be transformed to a higher voltage. We need approximately 350 volts to run our equipment. Therefore, we use a small generator, which runs from the car battery. This produces our high voltage, which runs the transmitter. Then we have to get up a much better aerial. Well, we can get up a much better aerial, say, in a house. You're limited, really, as to what kind of aerial you put up, because most gardens, as I've already said, are usually in the region of about 50 or 60 feet in length. Whereas when we're broadcasting out in the open, we normally choose two tall trees, you know, 60 or 70 feet high, with the aerial strung between the two and a feeder dropping down from the aerial to the transmitter. And the equipment's all set up and the lookouts spread out over the field and on the road in cars. Usually we try to pick a place that's a bit out of the way, because if you're carrying, let's say if we use a building site in London and you stop your car and you unload car batteries and carry them in, it's more than likely that somebody's going to see, and it does look a little suspicious to be doing this on a Sunday morning, and they'll phone the police will turn up, they'll find out who we are, they'll confiscate everything, we'll all be taken down the police station, and there'll be a lot of trouble and we won't make a broadcast. So we try and find somewhere that's a little out of the way where we can unload all our gear in peace and set everything up in peace. So it normally turns out to be someone's farm somewhere and hopefully the farmer doesn't turn up. If he does, you know, we will explain that we're recording birds or we're taking measurements from the ionosphere or something like that. And they usually take it all in and they let us stay there. But of course there have been occasions where we've been turfed off a farm, sometimes at gunpoint, which can be a bit frightening.
This is Radio Jackie on 197 metres in the medium wave band, commencing transmissions.
Unfortunately, whilst the broadcast stations were largely silent, a large number of irresponsible operators appeared on the hitherto respectable wavelengths of 197 and 255 metres, whose only interest appeared to be avoiding taking a radio amateur's examination, wasting valuable airspace and causing a great deal of interference.
This is Radio Shannon Mobile. Shannon Mobile test transmitting on 266 metres medium wave.
Well, I'll smash it when it's off then.
Go out!
Don't talk me
like
that.
Look,
I'll tell
you bloody
look, if you don't mind, you can move your swearing out of that, and I object to that. I've had enough reverse screen.
Well, look, I've just told you, I moved off the frequency.
All right, if we hear it again, it's going off, right? If it comes to the radio again, it's going off.
Goodbye.
Oh,
sorry about this. I am intended to take the RE soon. So, this station now QRC, and if you phone me up, I'll just ask to speak to Mike. Don't mention anything, any call signs or anything. Just say you want to speak to Mike because my mum's a bit funny, you see. So, if you want to phone me up, if WASP does know the number, tell them not to spread it around, though, won't you? Anyway, this station now, QRT,
and
listening on 254.
We're opposed to QSO stations because, you know, we feel that if they can't get their RA, then they aren't qualified to broadcast and they shouldn't be on the air because they're likely to cause interference. Because all they seem to want to do is chat to each other, which they could do just as easily over the phone.
Currently running at number 11, that's the Cufflinks, and When Julie Comes Around. If you feel strongly about commercial radio, we'd like you to phone up the ATV networks, and their phone number is 01-262-8040, and we'd like you to tell them your opinion on commercial radio. If you'll do that for us, we'll be mighty thankful. We'll be back on the air in 6 to 8 weeks' time, so if you write in, we'll read your letter out over the air then. This is Radio Deacon. To Her Majesty the Queen, a very good afternoon.
Although a few stations, like Radio Deacon, attempted music programmes on 197 metres, they again suffered raids, while the QSO stations, as they were known, appeared to get off scot-free.
Sound this week on Radio Free South. And that was a rundown of our top 10. As you can hear, T-Rex fading away into distance. And next we've got a real golden oldie for you from about the year 68, and it's Harper Valley PTA by Bobby Gentry, I think, wasn't it? Bobby Gentry, Harper Valley PTA.
Radio London revived. Radio London revived. Radio Free Caroline. Radio Free Kingdom, rather. This is Radio Jim, the North Sandton Pirate Radio Network station calling you. This is the North Sandton Pirate Radio Network. Radio Jim calling you. Standing by.
Radio Broadside 1, this is Radio Caroline calling. Radio Caroline is calling Radio Broadside 1. Hello, Radio Broadside 1, Radio Caroline is calling and standing by.
The interference and lack of airspace finally forced Radio Jackie to change frequency, first to 255, and then finally to 227 metres, where they've remained ever since. Radio Jackie, now almost 2 years old, is one of the few remaining regular broadcast stations, and they continued broadcasting alone, with a listening audience that grew larger every week.
Jackie was the station around at that time. We were still on 197 metres, which was a mistake. I think we should have moved a lot sooner than we did, but after a few transmissions, after a few further transmissions on 197 metres, we decided to change our wavelength to 255 metres, just the other side of Radio 1, to try and gain a greater audience. We also increased power at the same time from 15 watts to 50 watts, but this didn't seem to make all that much difference to our coverage.
Oh, sorry we had to cut the Rolling Stones short there. It's time for your 3 days, Stevens, to go. I'll be back with you, I believe, in 3 hours' time on Radio Jackie. Don't forget to tune in 3 hours' time. We've got lots of great sounds coming for you. Right now, our brand new disc jockey, Ronnie Richards. And then 2 hours of Mike Knight. When everyone turns off, of course, then.
Radio Jackie continued broadcasting throughout 1969 and 1970, suffering.
A reminder that you're tuned to BBC Radio London, broadcasting on 95.3 VHF.
Police with tracker dogs and post office detection men raided a pirate radio station in South London yesterday. Radio Jackie, which was said to broadcast for 6 hours every Sunday afternoon, was manned by about 15 teenagers when the police arrived at Cannons Lane, Banstead. Most of them ran away when they saw the police approaching across a field. But several were rounded up and taken to Banstead Police Station before being released later.
This is Radio Luxembourg International. Well, the time is 2300 hours, 208. News from the resources of Britain's biggest daily newspaper, the Daily Mirror. And on the news at 11 this evening, peace pact at Ford's, girl found strangled, police raid pirate radio stations and 50 held after village battle. Details in just a moment. Police and post office officials raided 3 pirate radio stations in the London area today. After 2 of the raids, transmitting equipment was seized and a man questioned. The raids took place on Radio Jackie in a field at Elwell, in Surrey, Radio Star on Wimbledon Common, and Radio UK L at Slough in Buckinghamshire. Next news on 208 at 2400 hours, 12 midnight.
Dateline, May the 18th, 1970. Police and post office investigators raided a house in West Street, Carshalton, Surrey last night and seized a transmitter and other equipment. Police said that post office officials were looking for the pop pirate station Radio Jackie.
At first, our equipment didn't work all that well because we didn't really know much about broadcasting from car batteries. So we'd take along a flat car battery one day, we wouldn't connect it up correctly. And to start with, when we were broadcasting in the open, our signal, although our aerial was perhaps a little better, our signals were far inferior to those that we'd put out from houses. But with time, we learned how to do it, and eventually, Radio Jackie became quite a powerful and accepted station, you know, broadcasting every week from the open, and it became generally well known how we did it and what we stood for. We got a lot of publicity in the local and the national press, not only when we were raided, but features of the station as well, which is obviously the sort of publicity we want. No one wants to hear that Radio Jackie is being caught and so was fined so much. They want to know about Radio Jackie and why it's broadcasting. And in the period 1970-71, we received a lot of publicity.
Not least an interview with Steve Bradshaw on BBC Radio London.
By police of radio equipment on Mitcham Common, the post office are investigating London's pirate radio stations. After finding the equipment, which included a portable transmitter, in a car in Carshalton Road last night, police questioned 4 young people who were later released. Now the police are helping the post office to look into the whole question of land-based pirate radio stations. Steve Bradshaw has been talking to the organiser of a pirate station in South London, Nick Catford, and he asked him how many pop pirates are operating in the area.
In the South London area itself, there are four music stations like this one, yeah.
What about North London?
In North London, there are very few, possibly about two music stations.
Why are there more in South London?
Perhaps more people are interested in this area. We also got me behind it to get them going.
What kind of people, in fact, do work on this kind of station?
Well, there are two people who work full-time in organising these stations. They're people that are sort of dedicated towards the cause of free radio.
And what exactly does that mean?
We're dedicated to an alternative service to the BBC.
What kind of programmes do they put out, then?
It's mainly pop music, also news and commercials.
What kind of commercials? I mean, do they make any money out of that?
Well, some of the commercials for some of the stations are paid for, some are not paid for, to make it difficult for the GPO to detect, but it's mainly discotheques, salons, that sort of thing.
Does anybody, in fact, make any money out of it?
Yes, a lot of people do make quite a bit of money out of it.
Well, isn't it rather hypocritical in that case to say that it's all in the cause of free radio?
Not many stations make any profit, but they obviously have to make enough money to keep the station going, because when the GPO confiscate equipment, this all has to be replaced to be on the air again the next week.
What kind of people are behind these kind of pirate radio stations? Are they doing it full-time? Are they students or what?
A lot of students are involved, but there are certain people who work completely full-time to bring this service to the public every week.
What kind of equipment do they use?
The equipment is mostly mobile, which can be operated from fields, from cars, etc., and is all home-built.
This means that they can take it around wherever they want to go?
They can take it around, set it up in the middle of a field and start transmitting. It's very simple.
It also means they can't be tracked down?
It's difficult to track it down, but you come from a different location every week. The GPO have to start again every week.
How difficult is it for them to get hold of you?
It's difficult in the fact that you're coming from the middle of a field. They've got to sort of walk along the field and spot you, but it's not really that difficult to track the station down.
And what kind of close escapes and close shaves have you had? You must have had a lot.
We've had quite a lot of shaves, yes. In fact, if we see the GPO, it's best really to abandon the heavy equipment and make off in the opposite direction with the lighter transmitter and such equipment.
What kind of programmes these people put out?
It's mostly pop music, but there's also news, as I said before, commercials, but mostly pop music.
One of the things that's been held against you is that you're blotting out police wavelengths and other wavelengths used to transmit emergency messages.
Oh, this is certainly untrue. Our wavelengths are very carefully chosen so as to interfere with nobody at all.
But you can't get any publicity. How do people find out about you?
Well, there is, in fact, a lot of publicity in the national and the local press, particularly when these stations are caught by the post office.
Isn't this rather a dangerous game, really?
It's dangerous in the fact that the penalty could be imprisonment, but I think if enough people are dedicated, they're going to risk that, and they will continue.
And what about the licensing laws and so on that you offend? The GPO are obviously very hostile to you, as of course they must be.
Indeed,
aren't
yes.
they and the police going to catch up with you in the end?
Well, obviously, they do catch up with us, but as I said before, if you're dedicated, every time we're caught, some people will be prosecuted, but the station will always be back again the next week.
One of the dedicated Scarlet Pimpernels of pirate radio.
Then in February 1971, Radio Jackie introduced a completely new concept to pirate broadcasting.
Marcel there, and yesterday. This is Radio Jackie broadcasting a test program on 94.4 MHz VHF, super quality FM, prior to a full opening in 7 minutes' time at 8 o'clock.
So this is the first program on the new VHF radio service of Radio Jackie. My name is Mike Barron, and it's my great pleasure to take you through on the first 30 minutes of the official opening of Radio Jackie. And I'm going to be playing you some good records and also telling you about what is going to be happening to Radio Jackie, all about the plans and the programs you're going to be hearing on Radio Jackie. Also playing some good records like this, the current number one sound on Radio Jackie this week, from the Supremes on Tamla Motown, Stone Love.
At first, our programmes were very similar to those of Medium Wave, which consisted at that time basically of a top 40 format. But we decided that as this was VHF and this was quality radio, that we would specialise our programmes. There were quite a few plans to produce documentaries, plays and programmes like that, but this proved a little too difficult for us at the time because of the staff involved with Radio Jackie. They didn't have all that much spare time, and to produce a documentary or a play or a quiz takes quite a lot of preparation. So we stuck to music programmes, but we tended to specialise in each programme. For example, we might have a reggae programme or a soul or progressive. I think we had a little too much of that in the early days, but, you know, the staff tended to want to play the music they liked and not the music that the listeners liked, which I think was one of our big mistakes and was, you know, one failure in our programme format over the years on VHF.
Radio Jackie continued, broadcasting now on both VHF and medium wave.
When Radio Jackie VHF first started, we had one raid, only one raid in our first year of broadcasting. In our second year of broadcasting, we were raided practically every week. Although we didn't lose much equipment, the broadcasts were greatly shortened. You know, for example, one of our broadcasts may last 4 minutes. The next week we'd last 1 hour. We'd get away with 3 hours the next week, then half an hour the next week. So we were losing a tremendous amount of our audience, and we were losing a lot of enthusiasm amongst the staff of the station as well.
You're listening to On the Run, continuing the story of London's clandestine broadcasting stations. Radio Jackie also produced, in addition to regular broadcasts, special holiday transmissions on other frequencies.
Broadcasting on 240 metres in the medium wave band, 1161 kHz, and also with a simultaneous transmission in the super quality VHF FM broadcast band, 94.4 MHz, this is Radio Jackie. Radio Jackie is a free, independent radio station and causes no interference to other broadcast stations or to any emergency services. Radio Jackie intends to continue transmitting clandestinely until a system of free enterprise radio is introduced into the United Kingdom. The mailing address of Radio Jackie for all reception reports, record requests and other correspondence is as follows. Care of Miss Frances Campbell at 70 Walton Road, East Molesey in Surrey. That's Miss Frances Campbell, 70 Walton Road, East Molesey in Surrey.
VHF broadcasts were on Saturday nights. Now other stations began to appear on VHF, and an organisation was formed, along the lines of the IBA, to put out different programmes on different nights. This was the now famous London Transmitter of Independent Radio.
A.B. Cohen first became involved in Radio Jackie back in 1970, when we were broadcasting on 197 metres. He tracked us down one day, and we thought he was the post office. We went off the air, decided he wasn't, went out and had a chat to him, and he gave us a lot of equipment and generally became very useful and became very involved with the station. But he'd always been interested in broadcasting in VHF. He bought a transmitter from one of our engineers, which was lost at a Radio Jackie location. Then he decided that he'd built his own transmitters, which we thought, well, he'll never do this. He's a television engineer. He doesn't know the first thing about transmitters. But to everyone's amazement, about 4 or 5 months later, he came up with a 50-watt transistorized transmitter. And he reopened his own station, which was called Aquarius, and he formed an organisation called the London Transmitter of Independent Radio, the aim of which was to provide transmitting equipment for stations who weren't either technically capable or financially capable of broadcasting on VHF, so that they could produce high-quality programmes.
This is the London transmitter of independent radio, transmitting on 94.4 MHz in VHF FM.
Radio Aquarius broadcast on Friday nights with light music.
Broadcasting on 94.4 VHF, you're tuned to Aquarius, your station of the stars with the sounds of tomorrow. Good evening from my disc engineer, Barry, the transmitter engineers, Jim and Robert, and my executive producer, A.V. Cohen.
What sort of stations became involved in the London Transmitter Independent Radio?
Well, Aquarius was the first station in the LTIR. Jackie was a little reluctant to join, but eventually we were pulled into the organisation as well. And then came stations like Radio London Underground, Radio Classic, Radio Odyssey, Radio Star. Classic is the most recent addition to the network. And they're still looking for new people.
So how are the programmes organised? Does each station put out a different type of programme for a different audience?
The idea of the LTIR was for each station to specialise its programmes. Star, on the other hand, tended to broadcast similar programmes to those of medium wave. And, you know, this might seem quite unbelievable. In their 6 or 7 months of broadcasting through the LTIR, they only received about 5 or 6 letters. Radio London Underground consisted mainly of progressive music and documentaries and all sorts of weird sounds, and proved to be very popular indeed.
Music machine, the marvelous music machine.
Broadcasting on 94.4 MHz VHF, through the London transmitter of independent radio, this was the sound of Radio London Underground, which grew out of the London Underground programme on Radio Jackie VHF and began test transmissions late in 1971. In April 1972, RLU began regular broadcasts on Sunday evenings between 10 p.m. and midnight. RLU broadcasts through the LTIR, and having less than half a dozen staff, had to rely on helpers from other stations in the LTIR network to assist on site. Help was generously given, and RLU became a regular Sunday night service for 8 months. RLU was different from contemporary independent radio stations insofar as it had no real format, but set out to stimulate interest in many fields. The word underground may well have conjured up an image of a station pumping out interminable tracks from so-called progressive music albums, but this was very far from being RLU. So-called progressive music was indeed played, as was an enormously wide variety of classical, semi-classical and pop records. But RLU made a name for itself, not for the music it broadcast, but for its distinctive programme style and presentation, which included several documentary programmes on varied topics. All its programmes, documentaries apart, were unplanned and recorded in real time. Its regular voices also acted as recording and mixing engineers, often at the same time. And yet, to judge by listener reaction, the result was a relaxed, informal programme enjoyed by many in the service area of the LTIR transmitter, and indeed by many outside the intended service area, especially when RLU broadcast with a Dolby B characteristic and became the first radio station in this country to do so.
This is Radio London Underground, broadcasting on 94.4 MHz VHF with a Dolby B noise reduction characteristic. I'm Peter Allen, and here over there is
Rick Martin. And on tonight's programme, you can hear, GPO permitting, tracks from the new third-ear band album New Horizons to release next year, and some unreleased live Genesis material, plus War of the Worlds starring Paul Damon. Part 4 this week, The Black Smoke. But first, a special announcement.
Starting in 3 weeks' time, Radio London Underground presents the first part in a series entitled Journey into Inner Space, an introduction to the new age in words and music. This series aims to introduce the basic ideas of occult knowledge. Towards the end of the short life of RLU, regular and enthusiastic listeners included BBC staff, both in London and in certain monitoring stations. There was a steady rate of telephone calls to report reception conditions and comment on programmes, and the occasional letter, sometimes even a recording taken off air. All this was most welcome, although RLU had to draw the line at personal calls to its mailing address. Sounds there taken from an Astro Musical Odyssey by Sounds Galactic. That's on Decca Phase 4, PFS 4208. Title of the track, of course, Across the Universe, an original Lennon-McCartney composition. You're tuned to Radio London Underground, broadcasting on 94.4 MHz VHF through the London transmitter of Independent Radio. Remember our phone number once again for reception reports and comments on the station, 01 549 0659. And our address for all correspondence, 70 Clifton Road, Kingston-upon-Thames, Surrey. So one small thing about that address I just gave that I'd like you to note is that it's for correspondence only. Entirely for correspondence. It's no use of calling round there because we shan't be there. Our studio is not there, and it's rather drag for the guy, that's Mike, living there. So please don't call round to 70 Clifton Road, Kingston-upon-Thames, Surrey, but you can, of course, write. Of course, Mike doesn't mind your phone calls. He's sitting there right now, so you can ring on 01 549 0659 and speak to Mike. But please, no calls in the flesh, as it were. In the flesh? Is he walking through the streets in the flesh? That's disgraceful. Sounds now of Space Hymns by Rameses. The track I'm playing you at the present time is called Life Child. But of course, there were other listeners whose job it was to pursue, pillage and prosecute the station in common with all independent or pirate stations. Official activity increased to such an extent by late 1972 that programmes were restricted to 1 hour, and usually only part of that actually broadcast before. This is Radio London Underground. We regret to inform our listeners that because of action by the authorities, we must interrupt our transmission now and go off the air. We apologise for any inconvenience caused in spoiling your entertainment, but this is, of course, due to circumstances beyond our control. We'll be back on the air at the usual time next week. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your continuing support. The staff of the London Transmitter of Independent Radio were becoming hard-pressed keeping up the regular four nights a week, putting out the various stations, and it was decided by the staff of RLU that this was becoming an unfair and risky business. So on Christmas Eve 1972, RLU was heard for the last time, and a brief announcement from Rick Martin right at the end of the programme told the listeners the sad news, and RLU became yet another small part of the history of independent radio in this country.
As time went by, other specialised pirates outside the LTIR began to appear, like Radio Invicta, playing soul music.
That's right, this is Radio Invicta, your midnight soul station. We broadcast Monday to Friday from 11:30 till 11:30 midnight on a frequency of 92.4 megahertz VHF.
The post office now began to take action against the VHF pirates, alleging that they caused interference and blocked essential services. I asked Mike Knight what he thought of these allegations.
They do, indeed, because a lot of the broadcast stations aren't run by qualified technicians. You get the small back bedroom pirate, who's not a QSO merchant, he broadcasts music, but again, he is likely to cause interference because he has no qualified technicians involved in his station. In Radio Jackie's case, we've got several radio amateurs involved, and therefore they know what they're doing, and we can make sure that we don't interfere with any other station. And to the best of my knowledge, we haven't.
Unfortunately, post office action got heavier throughout 1972, and stations like Radio Invicta were forced to close down, if only temporarily. Prosecutions became more frequent, and fines became heavier.
Well, the average fine a few years ago, when Radio Jackie was first caught, would be about £10 or £15. But today, someone would be lucky, I think, to get a fine of about £30, and fines of £80 or £90 are quite normal these days.
Why do you think this is? Have magistrates and people got wise to the fact that these stations exist? Or is it just a general campaign to try and stamp them out, do you think?
Well, in 1969, there weren't that many pot pirates around, land-based pot pirates, but since that period, over the 4 years since then, they've been increasing every month. And the post office activity has been increasing again, and a lot of stations have appeared in court. And therefore, in 1969, it would have been rare for a magistrate to have a case of illicit transmitting, but now it's quite common. So he's obviously going to increase the fines.
After Radio London Underground ceased transmissions on Christmas Eve 1972, its Sunday night place in the LTIR was taken by Radio Odyssey.
Good evening and welcome to the Electric Banana Show, the first out of two shows on Radio Odyssey this evening. At 10 o'clock we have the In Concert programme featuring this week's Focus. So that's something you ought to keep tuned for. This thing I'm personally ruining by speaking over is also by Focus, and it's from Focus 3. Alan Freeman. In case our feature album this week is Heartbreaker by Free, and we're going to play the track that they released as a single, which is doing quite well. It's number two in the Radio Jackie chart. Free reformed, actually, after a breakup in 1972, and they've been producing some good sounds. This is Wishing Well.
Recently, there have been a number of news stations on the air, on medium wave, as well as VHF. One of the most professional of these stations, Radio Kaleidoscope, has the services of a number of well-known Radio Jackie staff, unfortunately reducing Radio Jackie to a mere shadow of its former self.
that's Bolland and Bolland. One of the great duos from Holland. I suppose that's the right word, is it? Anyway, there's two of them, so it's hardly a group. We don't know what we're missing over here in England. We really don't, because these two brothers, Bolland and Bolland, there's Rob and Ferdy, they just turn out one hit after another. Well, all we've got out here at the moment, I believe, is, what's it called, Wait for the Sun. But, well, there are many treats in store for us. Radio Kaleidoscope time, 2:15.
Radio Kaleidoscope.
Music power. We're the Beach Boys.
It starts with just a little glance now. Right away you're thinking about romance now.
We talked to a member of Kaleidoscope about the station.
Well, Kaleidoscope, very first, you know, the very beginning of Kaleidoscope, I suppose, goes back about three and a half years to, well, about September 1970, when there was a small group of us who put our heads together, and we all really had the same opinion that British radio was in a pretty sick state. And we decided that the time had come to put out a station that presented a better broadcasting techniques, using the sort of the not quite such brash American techniques, or in other words, tailoring them to the English audience, but showing giving the English audience actual experience of what real good commercial high powered radio is really like. We were really aiming for a mass audience. We weren't following any particular station. Obviously, everyone always talks about things like WABC, but WABC always has been, I don't know how one quite puts this, WABC is, of course, the American number one station, but it's techniques that are employed throughout the whole of the States, and in fact we studied a lot of American music. We've studied a lot of continental styles and English radio styles, the old pirates, and really the resultant mash was literally the result of all our research into these stations. Well, it came to our attention that there was a group of people around who were thinking about launching a new radio station, and I knew that they had a great deal of experience in the actual business of well, clandestine broadcasting. They were quite probably the most experienced people in the country, if not the world, on this subject. And so I thought, well, no, if we're going to produce superior programming, we're going to need a superior crew to be able to run it. And what better time than now than when these people were around to just try and combine the two ideals? I had, you know, I and my side had the I had the ideas regarding programming, and these other boys had the ideas on literally how to keep the station going, and well, I the result is what you can hear for yourselves.
Back in time with the Beach Boys, of course. Good vibrations.
The weekend fun spot.
And Big K.
You're a winner with Radio Kaleidoscope.
We try to maintain a sort of a broad-based, wide appeal radio. It's basically commercial pop. We're being everybody's best friend. We're not furthering any political cause. We haven't even got an argument with the GPO. We haven't got arguments with anybody. The only thing we're trying to do is we're just trying to show people what they're missing. And no, the British people, it's like the Guinness advert. I've never had it because I don't like it. And this is so much the case with radio, is that nobody's prepared to experiment. And so, in other words, what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, well, look, here it is. This is what it's like. Do you like it? And I'm and by the response we're getting, I know people are loving it.
Radio Kaleidoscope, far from being a run-of-the-mill pop station, has produced some very original programme material, making for even more entertaining listening.
Just another day in the life of Captain Zapp.
The story was conceived, written, regurgitated, acted, edited, and the tea was made by... me. Well, I wanted to save money, you see. Colour by watercolour, produced by rubbing two sticks together, and was performed entirely naked. So remember, folks, if you're in deadly trouble, do not fear, Captain Zapp is on hand. Unless, of course, the pubs are open.
However, today, with post office activity getting more intense every week, several methods have been tried to make their action less effective.
We've had several ideas which we've put into practice and they haven't proved that successful. For example, on VHF, we decided to broadcast from... We started this in one part of London. We do an hour from, say, Headley, an hour from Epsom Downs, an hour from Croydon. But the post office, we found, could get there in an hour, so they'd move from one location to another, and they'd raid all three locations. So we'd end up putting perhaps three 40-minute broadcasts out with breaks in between them, which... isn't the thing to keep an audience. So after that we thought, right, North and South London. But again, this didn't prove any more successful. They just had two teams of investigators. One team was based in North London, one team was based in South London. So we'd do a North-South swap, and we'd still be putting out 40-minute transmissions with breaks in between them. Another thing we tried was relays. We'd have all the equipment set up in a vehicle. And we'd have a transmitter and a receiver up a tree. And we thought, look, we'll drive around, and when we see the post office, we'll just switch off from the car. But this didn't work. The equipment was too costly, and half the time it didn't switch off. So, you know, I think our only solution is to perhaps move further out of London, perhaps 20, 25 miles out of London, and use, you know, in the region of a kilowatt of power. But... this is going to take so much organisation, so much money. I don't know, quite honestly, whether Radio Jackie is capable of doing it. It would be a very nice thing to do, and if we could do it okay, we'll probably get away with longer transmissions. But this is the future. We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
So today's land-based pirates are looking to tomorrow and are planning hard to continue broadcasting. But, one is tempted to ask, what do they hope to achieve? How do they view themselves as part of the British broadcasting scene?
I'm all for freedom as such, but I don't think that anybody can afford to do it on their own. And it is sort of totally illegal. It's not like the Marine Offences Bill, where there's some doubt as to whether the law is actually legal or not, or whether the government was legal in their process of actually passing the bill. Whatever good or bad they're doing, they are illegal as such. They shouldn't be there. You know, I'm pleased in a way to see that they're doing it on VHF, because at least they seem to be caring about quality of programmes, you know, the actual sound that goes out. Like on medium wave, anybody would stick an old BSR with a ceramic cartridge into some frequency changer valve of some old radio set they'd got and put an 813 on the end and sort of have themselves a glorious transmitter. But these sort of things going out at about half a milliwatt, sort of round the block, terribly distorted, there were bloody thousands of them. You know, Radio Free London come on the air, and sometimes we'd find that our own frequency had been taken up on a Sunday by some other chap who was sort of putting out some dire broadcast, you know. And it went on like that.
What I want to see is, I want to see Kaleidoscope set standards in this country. I want to see Kaleidoscope influence the development of radio for the next, not only for the next decade, can't believe, for the next century. It's at this point where radio is in a very critical stage. It's in the same stage as it was in the 1920s, late 1920s, with Lord Reith. And you can see this, what Lord Reith left with the BBC. You still have the Reiths or the Reithian traditions with the BBC. And what I'd love to see is the Kaleidoscope traditions seeing radio through until something comes along to supersede it.
Speaking for Radio Jackie, our aim is to fill in between the old offshore radio stations and the new commercial stations. But again, that's not to say that we'll close down when commercial radio is introduced in this country. We'll take a very close look at Capital Radio, and if we consider that it's providing a reasonable alternative, then Radio Jackie will cease its transmissions. Otherwise, we'll continue, because the whole idea of Radio Jackie was to give the listeners an alternative choice in entertainment, because, okay, they've got the BBC, and we're providing a similar kind of programme, but, you know, we feel that competition in radio is very necessary, because otherwise, you know, if there's only one station, it's really free to broadcast what it likes. It doesn't really matter because the listeners have got nothing else to listen to. Okay, so we're a small radio station. We can't really have any effect on what the BBC broadcasts, and I doubt if we do. But again, we're filling in the gap that was left by the offshore stations, and we feel we're doing it reasonably successfully. And I think along with all the other radio stations broadcasting not only in London but throughout the rest of the country, we are providing quite a powerful voice.
Oh, we love the pirate stations. We love the pirate stations. We love the pirate stations. Don't let them take them away. Don't let them take them away. There's some swinging DJs playing top 40 records. They can really turn you.
Well, I think Kaleidoscope's proof that you can produce a very, very populous radio station on next to nothing. We have people who really know what the really know how to present a radio program, and they're getting through to the audience, and it's on peanuts, literally peanuts. And no, we've proved that it doesn't take many thousands of pounds to present a good radio station. It just takes a good atmosphere, a good team, and reasonably good equipment.
Take them away. Please don't take them away.
You know, we're often asked why we bother to broadcast when we face such heavy fines and such high penalties. And in fact, it is true that two of the members of Radio Jackie, myself included, are at present on a suspended prison sentence for broadcasting. I've been caught 5 times, and Mike Barron, the other person concerned, has been caught 4 times. And people may say, well, why do you still do it? You know, next time you're caught, you could go inside. Well, this is true, but it just makes me determined not to get caught again. You know, I still feel sure that I am providing a really useful service by being involved with Radio Jackie, and I want to continue with this, so the only thing to do is not get caught.
The pirate station, hands off the pirate station, fight for the pirate station, please don't take them away.
You have been listening to On the Run, the story of London's clandestine broadcasting stations. Narration was by Rick Martin. And the programme was produced by Rick Martin, Dave Townsend and John Harris. We'd like to thank Mike Knight, Michael Lindsay, Radio Kaleidoscope and the many other organisations who supplied tapes for the programme, which was a London Underground production.